pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We know that you are good. You are so good, Father. And you will never let us down, Lord. It doesn't mean that you're answering every prayer the way that we want it to be answered, God, but it means that you know what's best for us, Lord. And you hold us in your hands, and we are so thankful for that. And Lord, we know that you are so good, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
So Dana mentioned today is a day of great traditions for us. One of the traditions is not that I go shoeless, but I have one shoe. Brian had to run and get something from the house, and the other shoe is in the van, so I will let you vote. Is it more distracting for me to wear one shoe or no shoes? All right. So I'm going to do my best Rich Mullins imitation this morning and do shoeless. You can get some house lights, too. Why don't you? That'll be good. It is good to see you today. We've got, boy, there's just been so much going on. And let me start with that song, "When the Night is Holding On to Us, God is on Our Side." And there are times when the night is holding on to us that we quite literally need to repeat the words, "You are good, you are good. Yes, you are good." Because the things that are going around us are not good. In fact, it seems that the world around us is collapsing, and we need to be reminded as people who follow Christ that God is good. So this morning, I know some of you, your body's here, but your mind is with a friend, a relative in Florida, who's confronting a lady named Irma, and she's pretty mean. Or maybe your mind is still on a friend or a relative who's dealing with floodwaters because of a guy named Harvey. It's been a tough couple of weeks for a lot of our friends. And this morning, as we get started, obviously, our prayers are with them, but I want our literal prayers to be with them. And so I just thought today, I'll give you a moment to express some courage here, but just one word prayer. You know, if you have someone who's facing this storm right now, why don't we just go ahead and bow our heads and you literally say their name out loud. All you have to do is say their first name. But let's go ahead and hold those people right now in the presence of God, okay? So just go ahead and shout out. And honestly, this is, you know, it's not real organized. So if we stumble on each other, that's okay. God has two ears and he's able to hear really well. So let's go. You've heard these names, Lord, and you know the millions of others who are in just absolutely facing a frightening and devastating situation this morning. And we, of course, pray your protection on them. And God, because we're people who understand things from a spiritual perspective, we know that trials, yes, if we take a worldly perspective, they can turn us pretty bitter. But if we remember that you are good, they can also make us better. And so I pray that in the middle of the storm, as well as the aftermath and the cleanup of the storm, your goodness will be known to many, many people. And the opportunity to have eyes open to turn to God or to return to you, God, would be very, very apparent. So you know where our hearts are today, God. You know where our anxiety is today. And we place that very, very comfortably and confidently in your lap. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you know Don and Sheila Taylor. Don actually moved down to Florida recently to be with their son, who is in school in Florida and has been having some difficulty there, so Don wanted to be close to him. He literally started a job one day, and the next day they said, "We're evacuating." So they went north a bit, and others are there. Here's what we're going to do, too. Some of you, I mean, I know we're in this mode right now that it seems like everybody is collecting for Harvey or Irma or whatever, and some of you wondered what we're going to do as a church. To be perfectly honest, there are so many ways to give right now, including just, you know, giving over your change at the end of a sale at Jewel. It seems like everybody is collecting funds, but the approach we like to take in stuff like this, rather than just kind of giving to a grand generic cause where 10% is skimmed off the top for administration and all that kind of stuff, we do know people who are in the middle of this storm. We do know people who are cleaning up from the storm. And as much as FEMA and insurance and everything else comes along to help, there are expenses that don't get covered. And so if you want to give toward that, we will make sure that that money goes towards specific people who quite literally just have unreimbursed expenses because of that. So you can write the name Irma, Harvey, Hurricane, Disaster. We'll know what it means, okay? And we'll make sure that those funds get funneled toward people who are in need. Kim and I lived in St. Louis in 1993 when that flood came through. And I'll never forget, I mean, that flood lasted for well over a month. People's houses were up over the roof line. And when that water went down, the smell was horrid, and the disaster lasted for a long, long time. I mean, it's not just a hit the shop vac and, okay, we're back in business once again. So, and obviously, it's more than just losing things. It's just the, you know, the real emotional catastrophe that goes on with this and the readjustment of a life. So, we, you know, you hear it often, but please... continue to keep people you know in love in your prayers. It's not kind of the disaster's hit and now the disaster's over and we're moving on. So kind of hard because here we are in a day of celebration and we know there are people hurting. But isn't that the way life works? I mean, more often than not, you're in a celebration, they're not, or you're in a hard time and they're celebrating, and that's the reality of life. And so I don't want to be too punny, but we don't want the hurricane to dampen our spirit today. Today is a day to celebrate lives of people who are expressing publicly in rather chilly water that they love Jesus and they want you to know it as well. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. I did want to tell you, I was so grateful last week. I got to spend time with a bunch of other Southfielders working on this chapel project we've been working on at Green Lake. Green Lake Conference Center is a place that's close to our heart, not so much because of the facility of itself, but because of the person in charge of it. Ben Mott was part of our church family for several years, and then he moved on to ministry there and ultimately to take on the leadership role of that place. And the people that were with me this past week came to realize that that place is an incredibly heavy burden. Everywhere you turn, there's something that needs to be fixed. Everywhere you turn, there is a challenge. And these challenges are falling, you know, on the shoulders, basically, of one guy pretty consistently. And we love Ben, and we pray for him often. When he was installed as the president, he asked me to be the one to speak at his installation, which, you know, he could have chosen famous people from all over the country. And he says, let's get that PAP guy. I thought that was, you know, neat that we have that kind of relationship. And in that, I talked about the fact that he was going to have a hard time making it through that season without being a man who literally wore out the knees of his jeans praying. He needed to be in prayer, and that was going to be a vital piece of his time there. And so for me, it's been kind of a personal mission to make sure that as much as he's in an absolutely beautiful place, he has places, sacred places, that he can go and be quiet, get away from the junk of what's going on all the time, and just sit and be alone in the presence of God. And this little chapel, for those of us that have been in there, we know it's a beautiful sacred space. It was a root cellar 100 years ago, stored potatoes and carrots and all kinds of other stuff for the winter. And somewhere along the line, someone said, let's take this old root cellar and repurpose it toward a beautiful spiritual space. And so for many years, you know, you'd go in there and sit in there on these pine benches on a red carpet that had been in there for better than 30 years. And root cellars tend to weep, and the weeping was absorbed by the carpet. And so if you went in there in August, you just couldn't even breathe, especially if you had allergies and whatever. So our kids earlier this summer ripped that out and kind of got the whole project going. And now we had other people go back this week, and we painted the whole outside. It's incredible to paint 100-year-old wood that's still in perfect condition. It was amazing, the spots that we're able to paint. We were painting eaves. I was laying there painting an eave, and a bee came up and went, boom, stung me and went flying away. I'm like, thanks, that was nice. I mean, you know, so there, we had some challenges along the way, but we had a lot of fun, too. We had a great time. We stayed in a big old house together and got up and made breakfast and just, we had a blast. It was really, really good. So I'm grateful to the gang that went along to do that, and the project is near completion. There was a hope of taking paint off bricks and getting back to original brick, but there's something on it called lime wash. Google it, you can learn more. And basically, so instead, the walls are going to be painted, and then they're going to be putting in tile. So someone has donated tile from a castle in Jerusalem. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Repurposed tile. So what I'm looking forward to is next year when our students head back, gathering in that space with them, kind of cramming into that sardine can and doing communion together and being able to celebrate there in the presence of God. So really, really grateful for the time that we were able to spend together. So I like preaching barefoot. This carpet feels really nice. This may become a new tradition, who knows. It makes me shorter though, and I need all the height I can get. There we go. So anyway, we are going to be baptizing 15 people today, and we're just really excited about that opportunity. What I like to do on these Sundays is explain once again what baptism is, what it isn't, why we do this, what's it all about. And you know, as to the why, it all goes back to this statement of Jesus just before he went to heaven. Last words are really important. I think last words are vital. Jack and Maria Russman had a baby. It was this week, right? This past week. I've been watching pictures. Feels like a month already, all the pictures that have been coming out. Jack is like, I don't know, 17 feet tall, and he's a massive monster, and he's holding this teeny little peanut of a baby, you know, just a little, sweet little baby. There's going to come a point that Jack and Maria are going to decide they want to go out, and they're going to leave that baby in the care of a babysitter. And that very first time, you can hear the list, right? This is what she likes. This is how to treat her. Don't feed her that. Please don't let her put her finger there. And, you know, the list that goes on and on. By the third kid, it's like, yeah, whatever. But anyway, but that first kid, those last instructions, those instructions out the door. If you're a babysitter, make sure you listen to those words. Last words are important. Jesus had these last words when he's leaving earth. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, he's saying, I have the right to say this, okay? Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this. Oh, you better be sure. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Now, you look at that verse, and I love this, you know, when you kind of get some insight of the original language of it. You find out, while there's a lot of action going on in that verse, I mean, you have going, you have disciple-making, you have baptizing, you have teaching, you have all this action going on, there is truly only one verb in that verse, one action we're supposed to be taking on, and that is making disciples. We're supposed to be a disciple-making church. For all the things that we do, when we get to heaven, if we've not made disciples, Jesus will say, you had a great little thing going there, but you kind of missed the mark. You've got to be making disciples. And then he says, this is how you do it. You do it by going. And go there doesn't mean go foreign, go somewhere else, although it can. Go means as you're going along in your daily life. So later this fall, we're going to be talking through a series that we're just talking about, how do we, as we're going along in daily life, make connections with people so that they have the opportunity to become disciples. As you're just, you know, you're supposed to be bringing people to Christ on your job, bringing people to Christ in your neighborhood, bringing people to Christ as you're going along the way in life. That's not just a pastor job or an overseer job. As a devoted Christ follower, we're bringing people along to Jesus. And then he says, the other ways you make disciples are baptizing them. And that was a symbol of having come into the family of God, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So he gives us these actions, but the prime action there is making disciples. So when we talk about baptism, making disciples, it's important that we understand this very clear distinction. We like as much as possible, when it comes to theology, when it comes to what the Bible teaches, we want to make sure that we are always following as closely what the Word of God says as possible. We're trying not to veer away from it. We want to make sure that we follow what Jesus has to say in His Word. and that we're not just making up as we go. And so theologically, we try to understand as much as we can, what was it Jesus is saying? What was it Paul was saying? What was it the biblical writer through the Holy Spirit was saying? And how are we supposed to be living that out today? Well, as we look at baptism, one of the things that we need to understand is that baptism was not intended as a way of becoming a Christian. It wasn't the way we became Christians. And we see this time and time again in the biblical model, that a person believed and then was baptized. They believed and were baptized. So the people that are getting baptized today, they're not becoming Christians today. There isn't something being initiated in them that brings them into the kingdom of God. No, instead, they're saying, I'm already in the kingdom of God, and I want you to know it. I want you to know that that's what's going on. And so it really serves as a declaration. And Jesus asked us to make sure that we baptize people because he intended our faith to be a public thing. You'll hear people from time to time, well, you know, my faith is kind of private. It's kind of personal. And there's no doubt that there's a private, personal part of the growth in our faith. But he never intended for us to be kind of undercover Christians that never let anybody know what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. So baptism was a way of making a public declaration. I'm in the family of God. Now, it gets a little distorted in our times because, like today, for everybody that's getting baptized, today is a celebration. Today is cool. This is exciting. But you go back to the first century, you go back to the time of Jesus, and as a person is being dunked in the Jordan River, there were religious leaders and employers and family members standing on the shore watching what was happening. And as you came up out of the water, as you came back to shore, you'd find out you're never permitted to come to the synagogue again. You've probably lost your job and don't come home. Do you understand how it was a little more intense to be public about your faith? That we look at it and say, yay, we're going to clap after people get baptized today. Back then, there might have been some people clapping, but there were a lot of people with folded arms saying, all right, we know which side he's on, and he's not on ours. He's chosen this Jesus person. But see, baptism is about declaring, I've chosen this Jesus person exclusively. I love Jesus, and I want everyone to know of that incredible love. So, just to understand today, that when a person is baptized, they're not doing this to become a Christian. They already are. So then the question might be asked, so how do you become a Christian if not by baptism? Well, as you look in the Word of God, Jesus makes this and Paul makes this and other people in the Bible make this really clear. We've all sinned. That's a theological truth, but I'll tell you what, it's a reality. It's a reality. One of the people that's getting baptized today is Jason Barton. Jason Barton serves as a police officer. Jason, do people sin? Oh, yes. Yes, they do. They sin a lot. And he gets to see it up close and personal. And it's not just big crimes. It's on a daily basis we do things that are opposed, they're contrary to the desires of God. Every one of us has. And what we like to point out is nobody's as bad as they could be. Nobody's as bad as they could be. We could all do a lot worse. Which is kind of relief to some people, probably, right? I could be worse than I am right now. But here's the hard part. None of us is perfect. None of us is absolutely faultless. And the fact that we are not absolutely faultless leaves us in need. Because even if it's the smallest sin, even if it's not much at all, it's enough to stand in the way of our relationship with God. And that's got to be removed. It's got to go away. And it doesn't get removed and go away by trying harder or by going to church or by your mama praying for you or something else. It goes away because of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross not so that we could have Easter ham. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have our sins removed. He paid so we don't have to. He paid so we don't have to. And so what the Bible says is, you want to become a believer, there needs to be an acknowledgement that I am not as perfect as I could be. I've sinned. I've done wrong things. And that comes tough to some people. They have a hard time admitting they are not perfect, that they're not good enough to be received into a relationship with God. But there needs to be enough humility to come and say, I need you. I need you, God. And I need that relationship through Jesus. So the people that are getting baptized today are people who have humbly acknowledged, I've sinned. I can't fix it on my own. And Jesus is the one who died, and by asking him to pay for my sin is paid. And guess what? That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a Christian. So it's not about anything beyond that. Now, because we're Christians, we're going to live differently. Because we're Christians, stuff's going to happen that's really great. But we do nothing. We don't do good things in order to become a Christian. We do good things because we are a Christian, because we've entered into that relationship with God. So every one of these people has already been through that. They've already said, yes, I've trusted in Christ as my forgiver and my leader. And from here forward, they're ready to enter into a relationship with God that is real and lasting and personal. I love this verse in Romans chapter 6. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? There were actually people in the time that Paul is writing Romans that said, hey, if grace is shown because we do wrong things, let's sin like crazy. I mean, like, this will be our new witnessing tool. We'll just sin and sin and sin. We'll come up with real, real, real biggies. And then we'll bow down and we'll pray, God, forgive me. Oh, I'm forgiven. Let's go sin some more. Great witnessing tool. No, no, no. He says, he actually says, God forbid. Of course not. That's not the way this works. He says, since we have died to sin, how can we continue living in it? He says, if you are a person who's become a believer, you don't then just continue to live in a sinful lifestyle. That's where that word repent comes in. Repent means I was going that way, and now I'm changing direction, and I'm going in the other direction. I'm not going that way anymore. Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ in his baptism, we joined him in his death? Now, this is part of what I love about the way we do baptisms. We do something called believer's baptism by immersion. Immersion means you get to go under the water. And it comes really from the Greek word baptizo. And baptizo was not only used for baptism, for this process. In Greek literature, you'd see, for example, that a person baptizo their dishes. What does that mean? They plunged them under the water and cleaned them up. So there's this plunging under the water, not in order to wash away sin, but in order to depict the death, the burial, and then the resurrection of Jesus. We join with him in his baptism, death, burial, and resurrection. For when he died, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So part of the reason we get baptized is to let people know I'm a Christ follower, and part of it is to remind us I'm different now. I died to my old life. I died to my sin. And now I'm coming forth in new life. Now I'm ready to live a life that pleases God. Now, sometimes people get a little confused on verses like this, because Acts 2:38, Paul or Peter's preaching, and he says, each one of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You look at a verse like that, and it seems to imply that in order to become a believer, I'm supposed to repent, and I'm supposed to be baptized, and then I'm a believer. And part of what we need to understand that's going on in New Testament times, it is unthinkable, it is absolutely unthinkable to Peter, to Paul, to others, that a person would come to a place of faith in Christ and say, that's good enough. It's unthinkable. They see that what a person would do, they'd come to a place of faith in Christ and they'd say, whatever you want, Jesus, whatever you want. You know, we'll ask maybe theoretically from time to time, are you willing to die for Christ? And theoretically, we'd all say yes. Maybe in reality, we'd have a hard time. But theoretically, we'd say, of course, I'm willing to die for Christ. I think the harder question is not, am I willing to die for Christ, but am I willing to live for Christ? Am I willing to do whatever he asks? Even if it's something like being dunked underwater in front of a crowd. Because I got to admit to you, a lot of the people that are getting baptized today are younger. In fact, I met with worship team the other night. We were talking. I asked, so tell me about your baptism experience. There were two people there that were baptized at 18 years old. All the rest of them, kids. And for a kid, it's pretty easy. And when you're 35, 40, you're going, what am I doing here? I'm obeying Jesus. This is what Jesus said to do. I mean, I don't want to be silly, but if Jesus had said, stand on one foot, plug your nose, and beat your head, I'd do it. Because that's what Jesus said to do. Whatever Jesus says to do, I'm going to do it. Because it's not just about, salvation is not just about a ticket to get into heaven. It's about him being the Lord of my life. He gets to call the shots. He gets to be the one from here forward that says, this is the way you're going to live. Now, one of the themes you'll find today among the people that are getting baptized is that several of them have already been baptized before. They were baptized as kids. There was someone in their life that loved them and took them to a church and said, I want my baby baptized. And we look at that sometimes. In fact, some of you asked, you know, do we baptize babies? And well, we've already said we believe in believers baptism by immersion. The believer part would mean what? You have to be conscious enough to make the choice. Right? That's what we see as the biblical model. Having said that, here's what I love. The people, and I was one. I was baptized as a Catholic. At 7, my parents started going to a different church. But the way I like to see this, and in fact, one of our kids expressed this to their mom, and mom was just blown away, tears flowing down her face. This kid said, when I was little, you baptized me because you wanted me to love God. But now you did that for me. Now I need to do this for me. Now I need to do this for me. And so I think there's that clear understanding that there might have been a very loving parent or guardian, someone along the way who said, I want my child to grow up in faith. And now you're claiming it for yourself. Now, there will be parents that celebrate that. And honestly, there will be parents that wonder if you just entered a heretical cult and we're all going to drink Kool-Aid. I get that. I get that, okay? I truly get that. I get that. There's this really tough verse in the Bible that says, Jesus says, you got to hate your mother and father more than me. And we read those words and we go, what in the world is he saying? Well, clearly Jesus is not saying you need to hate your parents. Why do I say that? Because he says we're not supposed to hate. So, I mean, Jesus is kind of really contradicting himself. Do not hate, but hate your parents. He can't do that. It's hyperbole. He's speaking in just absolutely broad way to say, you got to love me more than anyone else, even mommy and daddy. You got to love me more. That's what it means for me to be Lord. And so for some of the people today, it's a hard decision. Because they know their parent may not necessarily understand. But they love Jesus more. And that's ever so important. I think that what we get the chance to do then in a very loving way is say, I'm fulfilling your desire for me. You wanted me to follow God with my whole heart. And I'm following him the best way I understand from his word. So here's my laminated list that can get wet today. If you're getting baptized today, just go ahead and stand up, okay? I mean, you're going public in a few minutes anyway, so go ahead, stand up. You're going to be standing in water for crying out loud. Go ahead and stand up. So the people getting baptized today, why don't you wave when your name is said? Jason Barton, Finley Barton, Anna, oh, I'm going to do it wrong. Say it again. Beitler, thank you. Maribeth Hines and Maddie Hines, Mindy Judd, Savannah Kyle, I love this, Megan and Kelly who are back in the back right now, Rebecca Santiago, Tristan Scarpese, Ashley Sutter, Dylan Sutter, and Anaya Woods. Oh, and Bella as well. So, got a nice group of people here today that are going to be going ahead and letting the world know that they love Jesus and want to follow him. So, go ahead and clap for him here. You can have a seat. They all have incredible stories, and I'd love to be able to share them all. We'd be here for a bit. And I just got to tell you, So yeah, it has been a cooler August than normal, and so the river is a little chillier than normal. I stood in it this morning for 10 minutes, and I'm still alive. So don't get real worried. But we're not going to keep them in there for like 25 minutes to share their story, okay? So as you get the chance to see these people today, you might want to approach them during the picnic and say, "So, tell me your story. Tell me what's going on with you. Tell me about your life in Christ." Our servers are going to go ahead and prepare to come do the offering right now. And they didn't have warning of that, so they're standing and going. And as they do, let me share a few things that are going on, and then we're going to do something kind of cool. So you already know that group sign-up is well underway. In fact, we've had a great, great amount of people already go ahead and sign up for a journey group for this coming fall, so continue that process. As soon as you're lined up, feel free. Yep. So continue that process. Again, you go online in order to sign up for groups, so make sure you go ahead and join one. We really believe that there are a handful of things that promote our growth as Christ followers. Obviously, something like we're doing today, this initial step of declaring your faith, but getting involved in serving, getting involved in relationships and groups, these are things that really grow our relationship with Christ. So you don't have to get up, but what high school here tonight or no? Okay, high school at 6, just like normal, junior high. Mom wanted to leave the chairs set up. Is that okay? Okay, so the chairs, right? You wanted, yeah, sorry, family meeting. So yeah, so chairs are staying set up. Thank you very much. We'll talk about it later. Okay, good. The chairs need to get baptized. They really do. It's time for a cleaning. So anyway, so we have that. I can't think of anything else that you can obviously get outside of reading in your folder today. So as you pulled up today, there was something kind of cool. I don't know if you noticed it, but if you were to follow the parking lot line and then look out further, there are actually stakes out there right now showing you where the new parking is going. And then we also put some cones over on the lawn so that we can see where the new gym is going to be. So we've been a little bit stalled. I'm just going to tell you flatly, we've been a little bit stalled. We've gotten our information into the officials that need our information, and they have full plates. And we've apparently been on one little corner of the plate way over here. So I'm trying to say this very politely and with a great spirit, okay? But we've been a little bit stalled. And so I just thought today that it would be a good idea for us to pray through the stall. And so here's what we're going to do, because it's just kind of a nutty day to begin with. I'm not wearing shoes for kind of luck. So we're going to end right now. You're like, 10 minutes early? Are you kidding me? Woo! This is like a bargain day. Wow. No. We're going to end right now so that we can go outside and stand around the building. So we got the cones, and I just thought that it would be cool if we go out there and form the walls so that we can see this space that we're going to be using. And who knows, maybe we'll get somebody with a basketball out there and play in the gym or something, but no. So let's get out there on the walls, and then we're going to spend a couple minutes praying to the God of heaven on behalf of what we're trying to do for him, okay? So we're done. Head to the walls. Go.